WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
How long can you go without buying yourself something new? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Ongoing news of U.S. tariffs on imported goods from around the world has stoked fears that the prices of everything, from groceries to clothing, are only going to get more expensive. And in response, some people may feel an impulse to buy new items like furniture, electronics, shoes, and more now before the big surge happens. But our next guest wants you to rethink that. Ashley Piper is a sustainability expert and author of the book No New Things, a radically simple 30-day guide to saving money, the planet, and your sanity. It's out today. In her book, Ashley breaks down the 30-day No New Things challenge. She starts by explaining what it is.
Well, No New Things started as something that I did in 2013 as just a personal challenge for myself. I'd been interested in sustainability for a long time and wanted to really stretch those habits. And I've always been a little bit of, maybe not a masochist, but someone who's like open to doing challenges like, can I go without coffee for 6 months? Mm-hmm. The answer is no. You know what I'm saying? And so I thought, okay, this would be interesting to see if there are alternative ways to get my needs met that are more aligned with my values. And so with a few blessed caveats, no new things, you can certainly still pay your bills. You can't get out. This challenge will not get you out of paying your bills. Mm-hmm. You can spend money on experiences, going out to eat, grocery shopping, buying things like essentials that are best purchased for hygiene reasons, new, like underpants and toothbrushes, things mm-hmm. like that. But pretty much everything else I was going to procure either secondhand or through the sharing economy or getting for free or getting by way of upcycling or reimagining things I already owned. So that means clothing, things for my home, supplies for work, all of that. So everything that we kind of tend to be really conditioned to impulse shop around. Like if we find, oh, I have a need for an insulated cup or something, instead of looking around and seeing if we already have something that suits that need, we just hit add to cart and we're suddenly like online buying it, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned right off the bat, Ashley, that, okay, there are some caveats here because I think people listening to us might be thinking, well, okay, no new things. How far are we taking this?
Yep.
Exactly. So I think you just kind of rhymed off what you've coined in the book as the super system.
The super system.
Right. So why don't you walk us through what each of the letters stand for there?
So absolutely. So we all love an acronym. So the S is secondhand. So that's getting things through Facebook Marketplace, online secondhand mediums and retailers, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you have U, which is upcycling, reimagining, or repurposing items that you already own. So that's kind of like, oh, I need an insulated mug. Maybe I have something that already fits the bill at home that I might be able to upcycle or reimagine. The P is pay nothing. So that's anything you get for free. That could be from your buy nothing groups, your next door free groups. If you're in a city that has a vibrant stooping culture, you can get it there. Or maybe someone in your network just gives you something that they're no longer using. The E is mostly for gifting or for treating yourself. And that's really experiences. That stands for experiences. So that's everything from, in this challenge, I still very much want, this is not a buy nothing challenge. I want people to still enjoy experiences, going out to eat, supporting local businesses, going to museums, going on vacations, things like that. So for instance, if you have a gift you need to buy somebody or you want to treat yourself, you can opt for experiences or you can do donations mm-hmm. or cash. I still want people to be generous out there to support their communities and also very much like have a good time and enjoy life because we're all about that.
Right.
And then R is renting, borrowing, or sharing. So that's really the circular and sharing economy. That could be everything from renting clothing for, you know, from one of the many rental outlets out
right.
there, renting tools that you might need. There are tool libraries here even in Chicago, which are really fantastic mm-hmm. to look at. Or you can borrow things from your network, from your friends. I do a lot of TV segments. I love doing that, like hitting up my friends and saying, yo, style mate, like help yeah. me, you know? And so it's kind of fun. So that's the super system. And it's really a circular way of getting your needs met as opposed to like a late stage capitalistic yeah. way.
So the bottom line here, no new things is not the same as no buy.
Yeah, it's a little different. And I would say it actually has like more flexibility to it so you can enjoy your life and also actually rewires those strong neural pathways
right.
to get you to think about your relationship to consumerism differently.
How would you define overconsumption, Ashley? What does that look like in today's world?
Sure. I mean, it's a term that's obviously gotten a lot of buzz. I didn't realize when I got this book deal and started writing this book that it was going to be actually such a hot topic. I thought I was kind of that old man shaking fists at the sky talking about overconsumption and
right.
its link to climate change and a variety of other things in society. So I think the term is interesting because yes, it's different for everyone. Everyone's mileage will vary when it comes to overconsumption, to the point where even on social media, we're seeing people use the term underconsumption as a counter to overconsumption, which I also think is really interesting. Just semantically, I think, well, that means your needs aren't getting met. And there, you know, certainly are people who are underconsuming and aren't getting their needs met. But I wouldn't necessarily say regular consumption is overconsumption.
I see.
I think in the book, I have a pretty robust section that tracks historically how, especially in the United States, we've gone from being like citizens who purchase kind of with an eye toward things that we're going to keep and repair and have for a long time to consumers, like just people who buy for every single conceivable reason under the sun. We're feeling good. We're feeling bad. We're celebrating something. We're stressed out. Every conceivable human need. And how did we get there? And so I kind of trace a lot of the historical happenings that conditioned us to become this way. But really, I think now our idea of what overconsumption is has become so perverse because we just don't even have a good sense of what a need is versus a want and what enough is.
Yes.
I often cite, and I know it's kind of low.
We have so much stuff.
So much stuff. And I often cite, like, I don't want to vilify Stanley cups. You know, we love them. They're great. They're helpful.
Ooh.
But they've gone from something that's just been intended to, you know, prevent people from engaging in single use, right? And ideally, you might need one of them, maybe two.
Yeah.
Okay, but now they're like a collectible and people are fighting each other. I mean,
Stanley Cups have taken over
out.
My house,
they've,
Ashley.
taken over your
house. We just moved homes and I just realized how many we had. There were three. It went from being this
thing.
TikTok trend to, you know, taking over my home and everybody else's
everybody
home.
Else's.
It was ridiculous.
And
I
now there's a whole cottage industry around those cups that makes just accessories for the cups. So
who's to blame for this, or what is to blame?
I think really just the culture of consumption in the United States, especially after World War II, we started getting messaging left, right, and center all about how purchasing is patriotic. So we went from being people like my 109-year-old grandmother who would wash and reuse tin foil, who used to get banned from buffets because she'd be stealing rolls in her purse and all that stuff, right? Somebody who had the same nightgown for God knows how long, to folks who just, again, like I said, buy all the time for everything. And that's because after World War II, the American dream had completely changed. And what was being communicated to us as what you should do in a victorious society is buy things.
Mm.
You need to buy the latest, the most luxurious, the convenience items. Before, we never had these drops of new merchandise every week or a new version of a piece of technology every year or every other, you know, month. And now we have that because, and it's all just driven to make us buy more. So it really is kind of a trine of overproduction, overconsumption,
yes,
and marketing. And it all keeps itself churning and burning and going.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and break down as best as you can the 30 days for us, Ashley. So start with week one and the foundations. Why do we start with the visualizing?
Yeah. So I think as someone who's done this challenge many times, there have been thousands of people who have already done it before it's ever even been a book. I think it's really important to visualize how, like, why are you doing this challenge? And how do you see your life being better by better understanding, one, your relationship to consumption, and two, developing new habits that kind of move you away from consumption as recreation. Mm-hmm. So I like to, you know, when I hear from participants in the challenge, a lot of times they'll say, oh, I imagine myself less stressed, or I'm visualizing myself having a more orderly home, or I visualize myself having more solvent finances, whatever it might be, because all of those are ancillary benefits of doing the challenge for sure. So I have folks kind of set that objective of how they want their life to be. I think that's just important. If you can kind of vision yourself into it. I mean, listen, if it's good enough for Olympic athletes and Oprah, it's good enough for me. You know what I'm saying? We know that that actually works. But then I have folks do what I called kind of the fundamentals, which really are, you're going to, one, make something I call a love list. As you can tell, I like alliteration here. Sometimes people call it a dopamine menu, but it's really a list of activities and things that you can do that don't involve buying anything. And we're really focused on things here, so that don't involve necessarily things. So I've had people submit all sorts of things from their love list that are really interesting. One guy does 25 sit-ups every time he wants to buy something. And really, the love list is meant to be something you can look to whenever you have those urges to buy, because the science on shopping specifically isn't totally like out and super available, but we can look at other kind of craving oriented impulse activities like eating or, you know, whatever. And we know that that impulse period really only lasts for anywhere from 2 to 7 minutes. So if you can distract yourself,
that's it.
Yeah, it's pretty perfunctory. So if you can distract yourself in that time period where you really have that intense craving, like, oh, I've got to buy that infrared sauna, or whatever. I'm talking about myself.
Right.
Woo, whatever it might be.
That seemed pretty personal there, Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, oh gosh, wild. Yeah, the things that I have impulses to buy are just so wild, you know, even though I've been doing this for a very long time, I'm a human being.
But and we can relate.
Yeah, we all can relate out here. So if you can find something else to do during that 2 to 7 minutes, you are significantly more likely to either completely forget that you wanted the dang thing in the first place, or two, to be able to resist that urge, or at very least put some logic on that decision and go, now hold up, I live in a studio. Do I need a freestanding infrared sauna? You know, and you can be like, be real, Ashley, like be so for real right now. And another thing I ask people to start doing in the first week is to track your triggers. And that's really like, where was I when I wanted this thing? Where did I see it? How was I feeling? What time period was it at?
I see.
And this is very much like, I tell people when they do no new things, there's no failures here. There's no sheriff. Nobody's going to tut you for like making a quote unquote misstep. But rather, you're like a laboratory. You're data collecting on yourself, because we've been so conditioned by marketing and advertising to, again, turn to shopping for every single possible human emotion and experience.
Right.
But really what you're going to find when you start tracking your triggers is that very quickly you start having shopping impulses around the same times when you're feeling a kind of way. And you can want to shop when you're feeling bored, when you're feeling hungry, when your pants are cutting into your stomach. You know, I'm talking about myself. When you're cold, I mean, there's a reason why shopping malls and grocery stores and movie theaters are very cold, because scientifically proven, we make less cogent decisions when we are cold.
Yeah. And I don't want to give everything away. So in week two, you sort of have folks focus on their habits.
Yeah.
Week three, their space and their stuff.
Yep.
And week four, getting out there.
Yeah. So the week two really focuses on, like, I'm going to show you how to be fantastic at the super system, how to shop secondhand like an absolute pro, how to what I call ethically offload items you no longer need, which is responsibly rehoming the items you don't want, how to upcycle using imagination and building that creativity in a way that's not going to be inconvenient for you. It's actually going to be exciting. And then in the third week, one of the things I think is great and kind of unsung about this challenge is that you really ratchet up the appreciation for the abundance you already enjoy, because you're going to focus on your wardrobe, your home, the things you already own. You're going to spruce them up, get them repaired, get them usable, make them sing, and you're really going to declutter. So all of that creates the space for you to see, like, holy moly, I have a lot of stuff. You know, the average American home has around 300,000 items, and that's an estimation. But we also have like tons of storage. We live in bigger homes than ever with closets and basements and attics and all that business, right?
Yeah.
Garages. And the like biggest growing retail commercial, like commercial real estate space is in self-storage. And then those other weeks show you how to use what you've got and then how to take those habits that you've been building out into the wild.
Mm-hmm. So leave us with this, Ashley. If someone listening right now does want to take part here, they want to break the cycle of being just a consumer, right?
Sure.
Where do you suggest they start? What's that first thing that they could do?
Yeah, I mean, I think see if you can just do like a day where you don't buy something or a day where you track your triggers. I think that's a really, one day is enough to be elucidating enough for you to go, holy moly, I got to stop scrolling on TikTok at night because that's monetized to the hilt. And all of a sudden I got eight things in my cart.
Those sponsored ads.
Oh my God. That's exactly when I'm like anti-aging things. I need all of it. I need everything. So I think that's enough even just for a day. And what I like about No New Things and what I like about just even that first step is there's no barrier to entry here. You don't have to buy supplies. You don't have to get all like prepped and stuff like that. You can start right now. Anybody can wherever they are. And so I think at the very least, if you want to get started, just try one day.
Pick a day and just start.
Pick a day and just even see what are your impulses around buying things. You don't even have to not buy things, but how are you feeling when you're making those purchases? Mm-hmm. And that's going to give you some interesting data to see, ooh, is this something I might need to understand better? Maybe I can wrangle these habits.
We've been talking with Ashley Piper, who's a sustainability expert and author of the new book, No New Things, a radically simple 30-day guide to saving money, the planet, and your sanity. It is out today. Ashley, great stuff.
Oh my gosh, Thank you. You are so fun to talk to. Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Dan Tucker. To never miss a conversation, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.